Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to Ayala Land's briefing on its results for the first 9 months of 2019. Allow me to introduce our panel led by our President and CEO, Mr. Bobby D. Head of our Strategic Land Bank Management Group, Ms. Mian D. Head of our Commercial Leasing Business, Mr. Junior Landoni. Head of our Residential Business Group, Mr. Robert Lau. And our Chief Finance Officer, Mr. Augusto D. Bengson. And right now we have 17 callers on the line, and we'd like to remind everyone that the copy of the material in the press release is available on our website at ir.ayalaland.com.ph. And I'd like to turn over the floor to Mr. Bengson to start the presentation.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today for our third quarter analyst briefing. On the cover, you'll see Ayala Malls Manila Bay, our largest mall opening, which we inaugurated last month. We were initially intending to hold the briefing there, but we took an informal poll from the analysts, and I think you were concerned about the traffic. In any case, I'll describe the features of that mall later on in the presentation, and hope you do pay a visit to our 160,000 square meter in GLA, largest single opening mall. Thank you. And let's kick off with our financial and operating results. Our key messages for this afternoon are as follows. Ayala Land's net income grew by 12% to 23.2 billion, while total revenues increased by 2% to 121.7 billion as of September 2019. Property development revenues reached 85.4 billion, supported by office condos for sale, as well as commercial and industrial lot sales, while commercial leasing revenues grew by 16% to 27.6 billion on improving performance from our new leasing assets. We ramped up our launches in the third quarter with 37.8 billion worth of residential projects, bringing the total launches for the first 9 months of the year to 57.3 billion. We also launched two new estates in October. Meanwhile, our malls and offices expanded their GLA further to 2.1 million and 1.2 million respectively, with the opening of Ayala Malls Manila Bay and its BPO tower. CapEx spend totaled 78.2 billion to support our residential and leasing asset buildup. Turning to the P&L, total revenues increased by 2% to 121.7 billion. This was primarily driven by real estate revenues, which grew by 2% to 119.7 billion, supported by office and commercial and industrial lot sales, further boosted by the improving performance of our new leasing assets. Equity net earnings of associates and JVs contributed 704 million, 16% higher than the previous period, mainly as Ortigas Holdings reflected strong momentum in its property sales and leasing operations, and combined with the higher earnings of our FBDC companies, mainly as a result of the healthy performance of our leasing assets in BGC, namely One Bonifacio High Street and the Corporate Plaza Retail. Interest and investment income amounted to 581 million, a 7% decline, reflecting lower cash balances and consequently lower interest income from our short-term investments. Other income amounted to 723 million, 27% lower than 2018. As you may recall, in 2018, we reflected a one-time sale transaction of assets by MCT Berhad, hence the higher base effect in 2018. Total expenses stood at 85.8 billion, slightly lower than last year's 86.9 billion, as real estate expenses decreased by 4% to 70.5 billion. General and administrative expenses amounted to 6.2 billion, a 4% increase from the first 9 months of 2018, as we controlled the increase of overhead costs. This enabled us to register a GAE ratio of 5.1%, and improve our EBIT margin further to 36.7% from 33.6% last year. Interest expense, financing, and other charges stood at 9.2 billion, 18% higher due to the increased outstanding debt and accompanying financing expenses. Netting out total expenses from total revenues, income before tax amounted to 35.8 billion, 9% higher than the previous period. Netting out non-controlling interests of 3.1 billion, net income attributable to ALI equity holders grew by 12% to 23.2 billion. We sustained a modest top-line growth with the support of office condos for sale as well as commercial and industrial lot sales, together with the improving performance of our new leasing assets. Revenues from property development amounted to 85.4 billion, a 2% dip from the previous period, mainly as a result of the lower contribution from our Ayala Land Premier and Alveo brands. Office for sale revenues, however, grew by 51% to 11.1 billion, and commercial and industrial lots for sale grew by 16% to 6.5 billion. We experienced an uplift from our commercial and industrial lots, which grew by 16%, contributing 6.5 billion from lot sales in Altaraza, Vermosa, Nuvali, and Evo City. Moving on to commercial leasing, revenues jumped by 16% to 27.6 billion. Shopping center revenues grew by 11% to 15 billion, supported by same mall revenue growth of 10%. Given the increased contribution of our new malls, such as Ayala Malls Feliz, Circuit Makati, and Capitol Central. Office revenues surged by 26%, reaching 7.2 billion as new offices in Ayala North Exchange, Vertis North, and Circuit Makati continue to improve in their performance. Hotel and resorts revenues moved up by 17% to 5.4 billion on strong patronage of our Ayala Center Cebu and Seda Leo. In terms of services, primarily composed of our construction business, MDC, Makati Development Corporation, and our property management business, Ayala Property Management Corporation, this grew by 8% to 6.6 billion. For MDC, net construction revenues totaled 2.5 billion, an increase of 24%, reflecting higher revenues from external contracts. APMC and the power service companies, meanwhile, registered revenues of 4.1 billion. So total real estate revenues came in at 119.7 billion. Coupled with interest income of 2 billion, total revenues increased by 2% to 121.7 billion for the first 9 months of 2019. Margins continue to be healthy with strong improvements in some segments given the project mix. So the average gross profit margin of horizontal residential projects was sustained at 43%. Meanwhile, vertical projects improved to 39% due to higher margins coming from ALP and Alveo projects, as well as some of the Avida residential projects. The average gross profit margin of offices for sale improved to 39% from 35% due to improved margins of Alveo's office condos for sale and ALP's first office condo for sale, One Vertis Plaza at Vertis North. GP margins from commercial and industrial lots also increased significantly to 60% from 44% due to higher margins from our commercial lots sold in Altaraza, Evo City, Nuvali, and Alviera. On the leasing front, the EBITDA margin of shopping centers came in at 67%, 2% higher than the previous period as a result of higher occupancy of Ayala Malls, Vertis North, Feliz, Circuit Makati, Marikina, and Cloverleaf. The EBITDA margin of office leasing was sustained at 90%, while the overall EBITDA margin of hotels and resorts increased to 32% from 29% due to higher occupancy and the revenue per available room of Seda in Ayala Center Cebu and Leo. Finally, overall EBITDA margins of the service businesses advanced slightly to 10%. Moving on to property development, sales reservations were steady at 108.5 billion. Alveo and Avida fueled the growth in sales reservation, but was slightly offset by ALP, Ayala Land Premier, which did not have sufficient project launches during the period. To date, we have launched 57.3 billion worth of projects. In the third quarter alone, we were able to launch 17 projects worth 37.8 billion. We remain fairly confident that we will deliver on our estimated target of 130 billion in launches for 2019. In terms of sales reservations breakdown by nationality and unbooked revenues, sales from other nationalities amounted to 16% of the total, but this was a decline of 18% from the previous period. Local Filipinos continued to drive demand at 70% of the total. This was supplemented by sales from overseas Filipinos amounting to 14%. Noteworthy is that overseas Filipino sales grew by 19% year on year. Unbooked revenues increased by 9 billion, reaching a total of 151 billion. This is an all-time high for the company, and this will be recognized in the next 3 to 4 years based on the percentage of completion method. In terms of our key launches, last October, we launched our Broadfield Estate. This is a 120-hectare mixed-use development under the Alveo brand, located in Binyan, Laguna, right at the heart of South Luzon's thriving residential, leisure, industrial, and manufacturing centers. Broadfield is 4 kilometers from Nuvali, easily accessible from the SLEX through Governor's Drive and the Santa Rosa-Tagaytay Road. Moreover, it is poised to benefit from the completion of the Calax and the planned Cavite-Tagaytay-Batangas Expressway. The project is also adjacent to the existing De La Salle University Laguna campus. 80 hectares of Broadfield will be dedicated for commercial uses, while 40 hectares has been allotted for two residential gated communities, namely Venido and Avea. Phase one of the commercial side of the commercial project covers 36.6 hectares. Tranche one, comprised of 35 commercial lots, were initially made available for sale with an average price of 185 million per lot, translating to a selling price of 105,000 pesos per square meter. On its launch date, 2.8 billion worth of commercial lots were sold. We expect phase one to be completed by 2023. Also last month, Ayala Land launched The Junction Place, a strategically located estate between Quirino Highway and Tandangsora Avenue in Quezon City. This 11-hectare pocket urban development strengthens our footprint in Quezon City following the success of Vertis North and Cloverleaf. The Junction Place will be anchored by a community center and a Walter Mart Mall. Total investments for this project will amount to 8 billion. Of which 500 million will be allocated for land development, including the construction of a four-lane road connecting Quirino Highway and Tandangsora Avenue. In addition, we will build a transport hub and UV Express terminal to further boost the estate's connectivity with other areas in Metro Manila. Since its launch, the Junction Place has sold close to 500 million worth of commercial lots. Key launches from Ayala Land Premier include our newest project in Nuvali, Laguna, Andacilio, 188 units valued at 3 billion, of which 93% has been taken up. The Courtyards Phase 4 at Vermosa, Cavite, 71 units valued at 1.5 billion, 40% taken up. Just as a note, Andacilio is selling at an average price of 31,000 pesos per square meter, while the Courtyards is selling at an average price of 39,000 pesos per square meter. Residential projects launched under the Alveo brand include Patio Suites Tower 2, 222 units valued at 3.3 billion, of which 12% has been taken up. In the recently launched signature project, Parkford Suites in Legazpi Village, this is in Legazpi Village, Makati City, fronting the Legazpi Active Park. 163 units valued at 8.2 billion, 19% taken up. Just for reference, Patio Suites 2 is selling at an average price of 221,000 pesos per square meter, while Parkford Suites is at 370,000 pesos per square meter. For Avida, Serin East Tower 3 in Tagaytay launched last July, 472 units, valued at 2.4 billion, of which 12% has been taken up. And Avida Towers Vireo Tower 3 at Arca South, 551 units valued at 2.2 billion, 55% taken up. Serin East is selling at an average price of 160,000 pesos per square meter, while Vireo Tower 3 is at 212,000 pesos per square meter. Turning to our office for sale projects, Alveo's Circa Enterprise Plaza in Alabang was launched last September with 343 units valued at 8.3 billion. 7% has been taken up. Circa is selling at an average price of 245,000 per square meter. Turning to our leasing businesses, starting with the malls, average occupancy rate for all malls is at 89%, while the occupancy rate of our stable malls is at 94%. Our total malls GLA now stands at 2.08 million square meters, with the addition of 161,000 square meters from the opening of Ayala Malls Manila Bay last September. This super regional mall has five levels, with a 3,200 square meter sunset garden at the fifth floor roof deck, as well as a 1 hectare central garden with sculptures by renowned Philippine artists. It boasts of 10 cinemas with a total seating capacity of 2,846 seats, two of which have VIP sky lounges. The mall also has 4 specialty zones, which feature distinct Asian cultures, namely the Philippine Village, Koreatown, Chinatown, and Japantown. Ayala Malls Manila Bay is poised to be the retail destination where rich Filipino heritage and design meets global lifestyle and brands. Ayala Malls Manila Bay is where cultures come together. 40% of the merchant mix are food and beverage tenants. The mall is currently 30% occupied, while the lease out rate is at 85%. For the rest of the year, we look forward to the opening of Ayala Malls Central Block in Cebu, with 44,000 square meters. Ayala Mall Central Cebu, Central Block Cebu, is currently 74% leased out. Our total GLA under construction for our malls portfolio stands at 558,000 square meters. For office leasing, GLA is now at 1.15 million square meters, with 19,000 square meters added from the completion of the Manila Bay BPO Tower last September. The average occupancy for all offices is 95%, while the occupancy rate of stable offices stands at 96%. For the rest of the year, we can look forward to the opening of Central Block Corporate Center 1 in Cebu with 30,000 square meters. Total GLA under construction stands at 388,000 square meters. For hotels and resorts, we now have a total of 3,618 rooms with the addition of 90 rooms in Seda BGC, the expansion building, and 38 rooms at Seda Residences Ayala North Exchange. Average occupancy rates remain at healthy levels. Hotels at 69% and 62% for resorts. 78% and 62% respectively for stable hotels and stable resorts. Upcoming openings for the remainder of the year include the remaining 150 rooms at Seda Residences Ayala North Exchange and the remaining 110 rooms at Seda BGC. We currently have a total of 2,400 rooms under construction. On to our other leasing formats. For industrial spaces, industrial warehouses, and factory buildings, we now have a total of 175,000 square meters of GLA. We started the year with 137,000 square meters. For the flats, we've tripled their capacity from 728 beds at the start of the year to 2,198 beds currently. And for clock-in, close to three times, we increased our seat count, now at 1,335 seats from the 433 seats at the start of the year. Our balance sheet remains supportive of our growth plan. Cash and cash equivalents came down to 21.3 billion as we deployed this to our projects. Total debt increased by 7.5%, while stockholders' equity grew by 8.3%. Consequently, our net gearing is at 0.75 times, slightly higher than last year's 0.72 times. We continue to take advantage of the lower interest rate environment in the third quarter. Last September, we raised 3 billion pesos in a five-year bond with a coupon rate of 4.75%. If you will recall, in last May, we raised 8 billion of a seven-year bond, and the coupon rate was 6.36%. Tomorrow, we are scheduled to offer our third and final debt capital markets issuance. It's a 10 billion bond with dual tenors, 9 billion due in 2 years with a rate of 4.24%, and 1 billion of a 7.25-year bond at a rate of 4.98%. So these issuances have assisted in lowering our overall cost of borrowing, which now stands at 5.2% from 5.3% previously. As of September, we've locked in 85% of our debt in fixed rates, while 88% are contracted on a long-term basis. We registered 78.2 billion of capital expenditures in the as of the third quarter, with 42% going to residential projects, 22% to commercial leasing projects, 17% for land acquisition, 11% for estate development, and 8% for other investments. For the remainder of the year, we expect to close in on capex of between 110 to 120 billion. In summary, top line growth of 2%, bottom line growth of 12%. Property development revenues reached 85.4 billion. Leasing revenues grew by 16% to 27.6 billion. Launches dramatically increased in the third quarter as we launched 37.8 billion worth of residential projects, bringing the total to 57.3 billion for the first 9 months of 2019. We also launched two new estates in October. Malls and offices expanded their GLA further to 2.1 and 1.2 million respectively, and capex spend of 78.2 billion to support our residential and leasing asset buildup. That ends our presentation. We can now open the floor to questions. Thank you.
Let's take the questions first from our audience. Yes, Carl C.
Good afternoon. I have a number of questions, but I'd like to start off with the development side of the business. Your launches for the third quarter rose substantially. I just want to check if this was during the tail end of the quarter. That's why pre-sales were still relatively flat. Would that be fair to say?
Yes.
Okay. And for October, can you already give the value of launches?
Yeah. So October, we launched 44 billion.
Okay.
In October.
And then for the revenue side this time, so residential revenue is down 9% for the 9 months. Can you break? Can you tell us what the Philippine revenue, residential revenue number was? Was it up or down? Or
Philippine?
Yeah.
No,
we
don't.
No. Okay. Okay, I'll just follow up on that later. That's fine. With respect to commercial lots this time, the margins rose rather substantially, and I want to ask if this was because of a particular location, or did prices across the board go up rather substantially.
It's lumpy. We, you know, as you know, we sell commercial lots, and depending on the age of that inventory, then the margins will be different. No? So I don't think it's across the board. You might have sold, I think, a particular parcel in Altaraza.
Okay.
That is that has been with us for quite some time, and therefore prices have gone up because of the development that we've done, and therefore the margin for that particular sale was I guess higher than our usual margins. So.
Okay. And then for the office leasing division this time.
So in effect, Carl, I wouldn't assume that that's going to be the margin moving forward.
Understand. With regards to the office leasing division this time. How much do you plan to complete next year, and how much office space essentially? And can you tell us the pre-leasing level as of, let's say, now?
Carol, you want to answer that?
Carol, you want to take a mic?
Yes. For office leasing next year, we intend to complete 100,000 square meters of GLA, including Ayala Tower 2.
Okay.
In the triangle.
And how much is the pre-leasing level, if you already have it?
Right now, specific to Tower 2, or overall,
for the 100,000.
Overall lease out of office leasing is 95%. For new buildings completed within the last 3 years, it's 94%.
Okay.
Lease out.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carl. I'd like to acknowledge Ms. Carol Mills, head of our office leasing business. Any more questions?
I think just to answer your, I think, Carl, your question was specific to pre-leasing commitment for, I think, the projects that will be completed next year. So, for example, for Tower 2, Carl, we're about one-third, about 38% leased out for Tower 2. Basically, about another, you know, 9 months or so. To completion, no? And basically there have been we're working on many inquiries and hope that we'll get to really a significantly leased out building by the time we open in 2020.
Any more questions? Yes, RJ Aguirre, UBS.
Hi, thanks for the results. Couple of questions on the resi side of the business. Just wanted to know some detail about pricing, average selling price for the year compared to last year, how it increased, and by how much. Just want to compare in terms of volume as well.
That's a bit hard, RG, because in effect, it depends on the particular location. No? In general, nationally, I think what you're seeing is for our projects, you're looking at anywhere from 5 to maybe 7% increase. But there may be particular areas wherein you're seeing a higher level of price increases.
So with pre-sales being flat, would you say that volume is actually down?
Is volume down? Yes. I mean, because of the price inflation, yes. That's correct.
Okay. Another question on inventory: how much years worth, or however you value that currently versus the previous quarter or last year?
We have about today about 13 months worth of inventory,
which is an improvement from a less than a year's.
Yes, worth. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, particularly because we launched quite a bit of product towards the latter part of Q3. Then again, in October, as I mentioned, we launched about 44 billion worth. So we're now at about 13 months worth of inventory.
Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you, RJ. Yes, one question from Ms. Christina Ulang.
Hi, good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the results. Sir, just curious about your view on the interest rate outlook and how it affects the affordability. Your specifically the REIT project also, how does it, what's the benefit on the REIT project? Any update on the REIT plan? And then secondly, your guidance on the GLA target for next year for malls, and you already mentioned office, and for the project launches for residential, will it be like 130 also, and would the target inventory be the same, and how do you view the overall outlook for next year property overall? Thank you.
I'll address your first question on the interest rate outlook. We believe it remains supportive of the property sector. In other words, rates will continue to stay at these levels, and it seems like there even may be a bias for interest rates to come down. As far as our business is concerned, in terms of corporate borrowings, we've successively been able to raise funding this year at significantly lower rates than late last year and even the first quarter of this year. Equally important would be mortgage rates, which our residential buyers avail of, particularly in the Avida and Amaya segment. The mortgage banks continue to be quite competitive, chasing the mortgage market. We see rates to be stable with a downward bias as well for mortgage rates, particularly on the 5-year tenor and below. So today we've seen some mortgage banks pricing 5-year fixed rate mortgages at 6%. So it's approaching the all-time lows that we saw, I think, two years back. For the REIT, I'll turn it over to Mr. Halandoni.
For the REIT, the SEC is getting comments on the IRR, no? So the process is ongoing, and I understand that they hope to complete receiving the comments within November.
Sir, when do you see it actually moving?
It's moving.
Sir, meaning in terms of the full fruition, anything more, because it's in the process, seems to be in the processing stage, and you don't really have the company there. And
I understand from the SEC that they would like to complete within the year or early next year.
Sir, so you'll see yourself there in the business already when? Second half of next year or first half?
We're targeting first quarter of next year. For the GLA on office, it's around 135,000 for next year. For the malls, it's 35,000 in Vermosa and 43,000 for next year for the malls.
And for office, it was mentioned that 100. Sir, would you say that you are as aggressive as 2 years ago, or where are you in your stage of bullishness on the sector? Are you tempering aggressive? Are you more aggressive? Are you less aggressive, or you're more cautious? Where are we actually in the cycle?
You could take a look at our capex, and we continue to basically register record capex levels, no? And we don't expect that to change next year. I'd like to add to the office sector, and this is a follow-up comment based on Carl's question, no? There are buildings, Tower 2 as an example, that we don't take POGOs. So we're getting inquiries from POGOs. We could basically still bring up, let's say, our pre-lease out rates. But intentionally, we've turned down POGOs in particular buildings. And if you remember, we've said that we were going to cap our exposure at 10%, no? And we continue to be below that threshold.
Sir, I last question. I noticed the drop in the overseas buyers, specifically Chinese. There's a pie chart. I don't know if I got it right. Down like 16%. So what's the reason behind? And are you seeing as robust an appetite as before from the overseas buyers?
I think the Chinese buyers normally prefer RFO units. Since we're ramping up the launches, they're not there. Most of our inventory are on the pre-sale stage right now.
A pre-what, sir? Sorry.
Pre-sale stage.
And they're not in that.
Not.
They're looking for RFO.
Yes. For investments, yes.
So are they? Is their demand speculative or is it real demand? The Chinese market.
Sorry.
Is the demand coming from the Chinese market speculative or real demand?
Those are real demand.
Thank you, sir.
Based on the number of Chinese nationals that we see around, particularly the business districts, we're assuming that there is that, as Robert mentioned, real demand for that particular market segment.
One last. just on the, sir, there's been rumor and confirmed report that so much money are being invested in property by the Chinese, and that that property is now the preferred investment, not the financial instrument. It's hard assets that's in. Sir, how much truth is in that supposedly grapevine rumor? How much truth do you see in that? That much money is now in real estate, and that real estate is the preferred investment now. It's not really financial instruments, but hard assets, Philippine hard.
I can't make a comment on the financial assets. We do see them in the property market. If you look at what has transpired over the last 3 years, from virtually not registering in our radar, now the Chinese account for a significant amount of our pre-selling. And I think that's not unique to Ayala Land. I think if you look at the industry, I think a lot of our other peers are actually experiencing the same type of demand from Chinese nationals in particular.
So why is your pre-sales flat? It's a function of your launches.
Well,
completion.
As Robert mentioned, typically they, let's say the Chinese go for near completion or basically ready to occupy units. A lot of our projects were just launched. We don't have much inventory in terms of finished units.
And you're going to improve on that to take advantage of, would that be the logical
step? We actually don't actively pursue the Chinese market. I mean, obviously, when they're interested to buy, then we basically sell to them as long as we're within the limits of what is allowable, which is a maximum of 40% for condominium corporation.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina. Yes, June.
Hi, thanks for the briefing. It was encouraging to hear that launches ramped up in October. Just have a question on the issue of permitting. I think that was part of the situation, if you want to call it that. Do you anticipate this to? First of all, have you scaled down your expectations for launches for full year, or has that ramp up in October giving you confidence that the full year target is in terms of launches is still achievable? And for next year, do you anticipate permitting to continue to be an issue or not?
I think this year it was the election period that really slowed down our launches. But for the year, we're targeting 130 billion of launches. And I think the launches are rolling now, so we don't expect anything that could slow the planning and permitting process.
The last quarter, June, I answered that question. I said the 130 billion launch target is on, and we're closing in on it. So as of the end of October, we're at 101 billion, so 29 billion more. The target is still there. We're going to go for it.
Thank you. Next question is, as you near the completion of the 5-year plan, just curious, Bobby, appreciate if you could share your insights on how would you rate yourself over the last 5 years, and is there a new look to this as you roll over past 2020? How would the next, appreciate if you could give us some guidance in terms of how would the next 5-year plan or 3-year plan look? What are the factors that you think will be, aside from economic growth, everyone's talking about economic growth and opportunity, but just curious about what are the nuances you see in terms of the next 5-year plan? How do you, I wanted to get an appreciation of your vision for the next few years past the 2020.
On your first question about how we would rate ourselves, I think we should be asking you guys that question.
You can ask us after.
It's a 7-year plan. As you remember, we rolled it out in back in 2014. So we're now on our 6th year, and we continue to push hard to be able to achieve the target that we had basically set forth. No, and just my own, I guess, personal take on it. If you remember, in 2013, we ended at 11.7 billion. Okay, and this year it looks like we're gonna be exceeding for sure the 30 billion mark. And if we assume 12, hopefully we're able to exceed that. Then, from 2014 to 2019. It would be close to triple in a span of 6 years. Okay, and in terms of assessment, maybe that's something that you could take a look at in terms of assessing our capability of executing and being able to deliver on high growth targets. On the outlook, no, in terms of the next couple of years, as I've said, we continue to go flat out. We're trying to push really hard to be able to achieve the 40 billion target next year. Obviously, given our size and our scale, it gets a little bit more and more challenging as we get to a higher base. But nevertheless, my sense is we'll be able to continue to deliver fairly good growth rates moving forward. Maybe not the 20% year-on-year growth that you've seen over the last 10 years, but my sense is we'll probably still be in the double-digit range moving forward.
Thank you, Bob. The follow-up would be, how would given that outlook and that direction you're taking, how would the capital, would you require any tweaks in terms of the capital structure, capital management?
If you're asking me whether there are plans to raise equity, no. If you look at how we manage our balance sheet, now over the last, in fact, 6 years, no, we've kept our leverage ratio, net debt to equity in particular, within the 0.7 to 0.79 range. And because we're able to do that, you could imagine our ability now to be able to service the debt, given that I believe we more than tripled our recurring income. Okay, so if the opportunity does arise for us to take on, let's say, a huge opportunity that will basically move the company to the next level, we really have the ability even to further lever up the balance sheet. So today, if you ask me, there are no plans to raise additional equity, and our balance sheet has enough capacity to be able to lever up further to take advantage of any new significant opportunity that we see in the market.
Last question is on two questions. Yes, June, what is the last?
June,
what
just is the on yes. the on any equity raise at the parent level? It's certainly not something we're considering. But
not
if
some,
if no. It's certainly not something we're considering, but we do have our plans to REIT our office portfolio. So if there's any equity raising, it will be at the REIT level. So hopefully next year we'll be able to list the first REIT, and that would be a way for us to recycle capital efficiently into new projects.
Thanks, Odie. Actually, your comment gave birth to another question, which is, are you planning to upsize the REIT portion? Because it seems, I mean, absolute terms significant, but relative to your entire asset size, it's minuscule. So,
for now, we plan to keep the same level of around 30 billion peso market cap. No? And the reason for that is that we want to do it quickly once the IRR is finalized. If we infuse other assets, we'll have to wait to get these assets infused. So it will take time. So what we plan to do is just read what we have now as originally planned and just infuse assets along the way.
Thank you. Last is what's the CapEx for next year? That's it.
We're still finalizing the budget for 2020, but it should be about in the 100 billion range.
Thank you.
Thank you, June. I have room for one more question before we move on to our callers. Any more questions? Any takers? Yes, Jeanette Yutan from JP Morgan.
Hi, good afternoon. I just have two questions. One is on the 44 billion launches. Can you give us an idea, like details on where they are, what brands, any big projects out of the 44 billion? And then my second question is on your retail leasing, specifically the new malls. What's the occupancy rate? How is it doing? How's the gestation?
So on your first question, Jeanette, maybe I suggest we wait till the year-end results are in, because otherwise we have nothing to report anymore if we disclose the October launches. No? So, but I think suffice it to say, 44 billion spread all over. There's no, I think, single area that it is concentrated, no? Because our portfolio now is fairly diverse. No? So I don't think there's anything that is concentrated, no? In one area. On your second question, maybe I could call on Yang Tupas, who basically is the head of our malls, to provide you the perspective of where we are.
Hi, good afternoon. For the new malls, when we talk about new malls, the malls that we've launched back in 2017 when we compete for our same mall growth. So these are Feliz, Virtus, Cloverleaf, and the 30th. In terms of occupancy, there are varying rates of occupancy, but they range anywhere from, let's say, about 70 to about 90%. So we can just talk about the details later. If you look at the average occupancy for stable malls, would be at about 89%. Stable malls accounting for about 94% occupancy.
Jeanette, our guys want to answer that first question. They really want to tell you where we launched those projects. I'm going to let Robert tell you where they are.
Hey, for ALP, two projects, Park Shore in Davao and Park Link South Tower. For Alveo, three projects, Evo City Residential Phase 2, Broadfield, and Mergent Residences, Broadfield in Binyan, Mergent Residences in Makati Avenue. For Amaya, Scapes Rizal, I think that's it, all 44 billion.
Thank you. One last question from Ms. Christina Ulang.
Sir, this is the last time, Stu. The joke lang. Sir, ano, sir, can you just give us an idea of what's happening in the BPO sector? Kasi, di ba, there's news that the Citira, pendency of Citira is affecting the demand for BPO. So what's happening in the BPO? And how's the take-up? I saw the 9,000 square meter. Is that the fully taken up part of the launches? Sir, so what's the...
We don't see... Well, if you look at our inventory figures, it shows you that the market is still strong. No? So we're, of course, there's a bit of uncertainty in terms of the tax issues, but we continue to close deals with BPO companies. And maybe because a lot of these BPO companies are captives, meaning they're not there to actually, they're back of the house of many of these technology companies. So they're not there for profit purposes, and tax issues is really not their priority. So to answer your question, we still close BPO deals regardless, in spite of this tax uncertainties.
Sir, is there an allocation as to how much more you're putting up in terms of GLA for dedicated to BPO next year? For the office portfolio, how much, or a percentage, or a growth number?
Madami-dami pa rin.
Sir, I'll write dami, madami-dami.
388, almost 400,000 under construction.
400,000 square meters.
So 100,000 a year. Our target is really around 100,000 a year.
Sir, and that represents how much of the office? That's 400,000 of the.
Right now, we have 1.1 million square meters. No, so from there, we'll add around 100,000 every year.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tina. And now let's give an opportunity to our callers.
Yes, once again, to ask a question, you may press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We have a question from the line of Wilson Ng from Morgan Stanley. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon. A couple of questions. Sorry if they are repetitive. I couldn't really hear part of the briefing very well earlier. The first question on reservation sales. Could you share a bit on the reason for why they are declining? Secondly, I think I heard that in October you launched 44 billion pesos of product. And could you share for October how much was reservation sales?
Wilson, on your first question, reservation sales, actually we're flat.
Yep.
We're flat. As of year to date, September, so the end of Q3, actually it was not a decline. It's basically flat versus year ago. In terms of your on your second question about what are the reservation sales for the 44 billion, then now we're really getting to next quarter's report. Okay, so that one I think we will withhold for now. Otherwise, we have nothing to report the next time we meet.
Any more questions, Wilson?
Yes. The next question comes from the line of Jason Yeo from Goldman Sachs. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon. I have two questions regarding the REITs. The first one is, you mentioned earlier you have sufficient balance sheet to lever up if you have big opportunities. Can you share how you're thinking of using the proceeds of the asset sales to the REITs? And the second question is, how are you thinking of the possibility of paying special dividends from some of your capital gains on the REITs?
The proceeds of the REITs will have to be used for domestic real estate investment. That's part of the law.
Jason, on the REIT, in addition to what Junie had mentioned, that we're going to use that to, you know, as part of our funding for CapEx next year. So there is no thinking right now of declaring a special dividend just because we had recycled capital. No, I think we still see a lot of opportunities in the market, and I think that we'll be able to deploy the proceeds coming from the REIT productively.
Thank you, Jason. Any more follow-up questions?
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, it is star one if you wish to ask a question. There are no further questions on the line. Please continue.
Thank you. Maybe a few more questions from our audience. Okay, then, I guess everyone's hungry. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. We have some foods waiting for you at the corner. Thank you.